Acts chapter number 9, verses 10 through 15. Are you down with OPP? Amen. How important it is for you to know what people are saying about you, and you shape how you live according to what you say. Quite often when people say things, subconsciously we begin to shift to align our life predicated based off what they said. I know you say with your mouth, I don't care what you think of me, I don't care what you say. I've learned in 45 years that that's a lie. Because what things that you receive from people, the things that people say, they shape you. So we find ourselves living according to what someone said about us years ago, because we can't break free from those things. And so people plant inside of you, so you'll be just like your daddy, you'll be like your uncle, you'll be like your mom, you'll be like your cousin, or you'll be like your race of people. Did you hear me? I said your race of people. That's where we're going this morning. And so because people say that, then if we're not careful, if we don't know who we are, then we begin to believe what other people are saying about us. I want to introduce you to something this morning, something that everybody has plenty of. Something that people don't mind sharing even when you don't want it. Something that people will give you when you need it the least. That thing is called an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Where if you down and out and you can't pay your bills, you need medicine, you need gas for your car, you need to take care of your children, you need anything. They may not give you what you need along those lines, but a piece of advice, they'll give it to you. The strange thing about advice or opinions that people have is that we have to understand where opinions come from. Opinions is from the Greek word op, is where we get the English word eye or optical. It's how you see things. So an opinion is not something that is proven. It's something that someone thinks, someone passed judgment about. They don't even take the time to prove it. But our crazy self, we receive it as though it is the truth. And so we spend our life living based off what somebody else thinks of us. And the truth of the matter is, when a bank calls you, or the mortgage company calls you, or the finance company for the car calls you, none of that opinion really matters. No one is stepping up and writing a check for you then. So why should their opinion about you really matter? If you're not paying my bills, if you're not opening doors for me, if you're not doing anything, what you think of me really doesn't matter to me. So you keep your opinion, and that's cool, because we all have an opinion, and that's wonderful that you have an opinion. I just need for you to understand that what you think and what I know are two different things. What you think about me, that I'm nothing. God says I am a child of God. What you think is I'm going to go under, but what God says is I'm going to supply all of your needs. What you think is that this thing is going to kill me. God is saying I'll be a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. So it's not what you think. It's what I know. You see, God says before I formed thee in the womb, in the belly of their mom, he says, I knew you. When God says, I knew you. What that is that he says, I had an intimate relationship with you. Mm-hmm. To know someone is to be intimate with them. We call them sex and we boil it down to sex. But if your sex life is just about sex and no intimacy, you're missing God. See, when we basically understand what God is saying to us, we understand that when we come to church on Sunday morning, on Wednesday, or whenever, you even driving and you having church in your car, church in your house, that when you enter into praise and worship, God is saying, I want you to be intimate with me, and I'm going to be intimate with you, and as a result of the intimacy, something is going to give birth. I'm going to bless out something. I'm going to birth the seed. I'm going to birth the vision. I'm going to birth the dream. I'm going to do something when you become intimate with him. Amen. And so what God is looking for us is for us to be intimate with him. And so because we're looking to man so that man can identify who we are, we keep missing God. And so someone says something about you, and so you wear what they say, their opinion. Oh, by the way, they didn't even take the time to get to know you. They just thought something. And you going through something, and they just heard that you were getting a divorce. They just heard that you had cancer. They don't even look into it to find out what's really going on. They just heard enough to form an opinion. And you know the truth, and they have no idea about you. And so we go through life sometimes thinking, well, if Jeff said it, it must be some truth to it somewhere. The devil is a lie. Have anybody ever lied on you and there was no truth to it whatsoever? You were in California and they swear they saw you on Victory Drive. That was not a me. See, but people can form those opinions. And when they form those opinions, then they go, and you know, like-minded people draw one another. And so they don't go to someone that they know is going to reject that foolishness. They go to you. Listen to what I'm saying. They go to you. You wonder why they keep coming to you? Because you crazy enough to keep on receiving that. And so you need to check yourself if somebody keeps dumping on you. Because the only reason they come to you is because they know you open for that kind of foolishness. What you need to start doing is rejecting that to understand if they bring you foolishness, somebody say the same dog that... Yeah. See, you thought they would just talk about them and they wouldn't talk about you. I'm afraid that I have bad news for you this morning. They're talking about you too. You wonder how your business is getting out. They're talking about you too. And they don't know your business. As with Ananias, they heard. They heard. See, you can't allow people to shape you, to form you, to make you based off what they heard. Because what you know in life is that the majority of the stuff that you heard has no truth to it. And that part of it which is true, what you heard, I don't need for you to repeat it to me. I was there. I did it. And so you coming back telling me what you heard about me says what? I still did it. I still got to go before God. And by the way, you got some stuff you got to go before God with as well. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. All of us have some stuff. But as long as your opinion of me is greater.
All right.
See, we have to learn that God allow us to go through what we're going through. And so Ananias says, God, are you serious? You want me to go and you want me to talk to Saul. Now notice how the Bible emphasized the name of Saul. Because Saul and Paul are two different things. I told you people were bipolar. Saul is the old devil. Saul is the man that before there was a Jesus, Saul is the one that was hanging out and saying, Satan, you just send me and I'll go. Now, all of those Sauls are not dead. There's some people to your left. Look, this way. There's some people to your left and to your right this morning that want to see you being destroyed. Don't you think that every time you tell your good friend how God is blessing you, that they go and they pray too? Sometimes when God does something for you, tell somebody what God is doing, and you step out of your little sanctified mind and you stop praising and see how many people around you are rolling their eyes at you. Everybody don't want to see you blessed. And the unfortunate part is I'm talking about church folk. See, because we can be some devils up in here. Up in here. See, I'm coming in the church. See, the church folk has a way of lying on you and adding in a verse or two. And when they add in a verse or two, they make you swear that God said it. We ought to leave God out of our lives sometimes. We ought to leave God out of our stuff that God has nothing to do with. But in church, you know, the Bible says this, and that must be the justification for this. If you see my faults, then you ought to lift me up. If you see my faults, then you ought to come to me and step to me, man, man. But all too often, we see things that is going on in the body, in the kingdom of God, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to knock people down. So my question to you this morning is, are you moved by other people's perception? Are you moved by other people's perception? Now, I know that you're holy. And so the answer to that question for all of us is no, I don't care what they say. I want to challenge you in three areas this morning. It's going to be tight. So allow me to talk about these three areas this morning. I want to challenge you in. The first area is, remember the question, are you moved by others' perception? The first area is religion. Religion. The way that you praise God, is it predicated on how others praise God around you? At what point do we begin to come to church knowing that God has opened doors, supplied needs, gave us traveling grace? At what point do we begin to come to church, and when we get to church, you know, I don't need no praise and worship music. I don't even need a preacher to preach. All I need to understand is I'm in the house of God. And so if I'm in the house of God, I owe God some praise. When do we get to a point where the order of service really doesn't matter? Because if the Holy Spirit hits you and you feel like shouting and you feel like dancing and you feel like running, you say, you know what? If I can't do it in God's house, I don't know where I can. But instead, we say, well, they might look at me crazy. See, they look at you crazy anyway. So the question is, have you placed God in a box? Or are you praising him on the hilltop? Do you put God in a box and say, this is how I praise God? This is how we praise God on Sunday morning. And we do it like this. And we do it like that. And oh, we don't do things like that because that's just, it's not sophisticated enough. And that's not the God that we serve. And you and your little cute self. And then something happens in your life. And then you find yourself on bended knees, snot raining out your nose. You're looking crazy, but you're still pressing into the presence of God. See, that's what we have to learn, is that God, I want more of you, and so I gotta press into you. And the more you press into God, the more God will release to you. But the Bible declares that the tradition of man has made the word of God a non-effect. And so the reason that we don't get what God wants us to have is because we are traditional people. We praise God based off an order, rituals, the practice. You know, it should make a difference whether or not you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, sanctified, holiness. It should not make a difference. The only issue is, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? See, if you're a Christian, then that means that you are property of Christ and God is ordering your steps. When God begins to order your steps, then the fault that you see in your brother really doesn't matter, because God shows you that you got some stuff that you have to deal with as well. Do you allow people, their perception, to determine your religion? See, God is trying to walk us away from religion, because religion is simply the practice of something. You know, every Saturday morning you get up and you go to the beauty salon, that's religion. You wash your car on Saturday afternoon, every Saturday, that's religion. Every Tuesday, you have to watch All My Children at General Hospital, that's religion. That's religion. Watch this. So every Sunday, you come to church, because it opens at 10 o'clock. That's religion. If you come in the church and that's, you just came just because it was somewhere to go and somebody told you that's where you're supposed to go, but you did not open your heart to allow Jesus Christ to come in, you missed it. You can stay at home. You missed it. See, God wants us to be awakening by His Holy Spirit. And so the question this morning is, does people perception determine or affect your religion? Number two, are you moved by others' perception as it relates to riches? Riches. See, because when you say riches, people go to money. But I want to push you beyond that. If money or what you have, your material stuff, becomes your identity, you lost. Who are you, Mr. Man, without your car and your 22? Can you still pull her? Who are you, Miss Lady, without your weave and without your tight dress? Can you still get him? Or is it the material stuff that you have that identifies who you are?
That's right.
If you have nothing else, does people still see the God in you?
Yes.
If everything that you have is gone, it's lost, will somebody still love you for who you are? See, somebody wrote a song that says, don't go changing. Trying to please me. Listen, and then it says, I want you just the way you are. See, that's love when someone accepts you for just the way you are. Yeah, you're crazy, but they accept you just the way you are. You have issues, but they accept you just the way you are. You're not where you want to be, but they accept you just the way you are. Thank God I'm not where I used to be, and I'm coming, and they accept you just the way you are. You see, you have to understand that God is not finished with you yet, because God is saying that He that beginneth a good work in you, He'll see you through the thing. And so if you put up with me on yesterday, for the last year, for the last 10 years, for the last 15 years, and I'm moving closer to Christ, baby, it's nothing but good days ahead. I thank you for putting up with me then. I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to allow the love of God to shine in my life. I'm going to let you see that this was a good investment in me, the person, and not the stuff.
Thank you.
So we talk about religion. We talk about riches. See, and as we talk about riches, I want you to understand this as well. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to jump to number three, and then you're going to get quiet on me, but that's okay. So as we talk about riches, I want you to understand this. A lot of things that we call racism is really green. The issue with slavery wasn't just about people. It was about free labor. Okay. See, green. Watch this. So let me pull this to 2014, because you're real quiet. So as I pull it to 2014, where you think everybody that goes through the criminal justice system is guilty, I need for you to understand that you can buy stocks today in prison companies. I ain't scared. Everybody that goes to jail isn't going to jail because you can't rehabilitate them and because they are so bad. So if I can get you in the system, now you're in the system, somebody got to watch over those that is in the system. And so do you see where now green becomes important? You thought they didn't like you. No, it's about profits. They don't care anything about you. Now let me define they, because they is not white. They is black, they are brown, they are white, they are yellow, they are everything. You see, it It's something about money that makes all of us lose our minds. The Bible declares, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So whatever you see going wrong, dig deep enough, it's a dollar under there somewhere. Somebody trying to make a dollar somewhere. And so what we have to understand is that you got to know the system in order to stay out of the system.
Yes.
And so here we are doing things that we lend ourselves to. Now somebody can have a judgment and opinion about us that really isn't true. I know this is America. You have a right to do what you want to do. So someone told you, tricked you, fooled you. But as long as little black boys can't wear a hoodie because they are thugs. As long as little black boys can't wear their hair the way that they want to because now they are a thug. Do you know that some little black boys that you walk by that looks like a thug are straight A students? It's not always about what you see and what you get. So here it is, you look a particular way. Uh-huh. And so someone now shoots you or your child because they were threatened. I'm sorry, I can be nothing but black. So if my blackness threatens you, we really got an issue. I'm sorry, I can't be anything but what I am and walk the way that I walk and talk the way that I talk. If you're intimidated by that, that's your issue. That ain't got nothing to do with me. And I don't have issues with you not feeling comfortable with me. I do have issues with you shooting me though. See, we have to understand that you look at things in society, and I know you say, why are we talking about this on Sunday morning? Because you won't listen nowhere else on Monday. So we didn't talk about it. And so we look at things and we understand, okay, you always hear about this person getting arrested and this person getting arrested. See, listen, watch this. Let me show you something. If you live in South Columbus or on the wrong side of town in any city, all you see is police cars.
Yes.
But if you move that way, you don't see no police car. So how can you give me a ticket if I'm up there and all of them is down here? Do you think houses don't get broken into up there? Do you think little 14, 13-year-old kids are not driving cars up there, drinking beer on the corner, smoking weed up there? But then you do it, they got a pound of cocaine. All you had was a little rock. Now you go to jail for 99 plus years. See, we have to understand.
My Lord.
Yes.
Income, greed makes a difference. So now you in the system. There's two ways out of the system. You can buy your way out, or you can serve your time. So if you can't buy your way out, you just sit there. And you sit there, then it costs more to house you sitting there than it does to educate the same person. But because somebody's making money because you're sitting there, do you really think they're trying to help you? Oh, I throw you a token every now and then and tell you we got a GED class. What the heck am I going to do in 2014 when a GED, when a bachelor's degree is not even enough? You struggle with a master's degree. Now you're going to offer me a GED and pacify me? You got to be kidding me. So you're stuck in the system. Because you can't buy your way out. And so now you're just there. And so you go in, you stuck, you label, you become a number, and nobody cares anything about you. And so now, how do you bounce back from that? Because when you apply for the job and you got that 6-year gap, and you can't account for that gap, but nowhere but Georgia Department of Correction, ain't nobody trying to hire you.
Amen.
See, even though you're trying to get your life back on track, where do you go? What do you do? I'm not saying you were right in what you did to get there, but I can almost guarantee you that you didn't get the same or equal justice as somebody from there who did the same thing that you did.
That's right.
When we understand that riches count, we understand that how people perceive you really has nothing to do with you. And what I'm saying is this, you can come from a single parent, broken home, you still can go to college, you still can go to the military. You still can go to trade school. You still can start your own business. You still can make it. But too many people are sitting there and saying, the man won't let me do it. What that dumb man are you talking about? What man? Because if the man can stop another man from becoming the first black president, what man are you talking about? If the man are you talking about? The only man that matters is a man named Jesus, Son of the Living God. That's the man that I'm concerned about. The heck with any other man. Third thing I want you to consider, since we are already there, I want you to consider other people's perception of race. You see, when you look at someone, we draw conclusions about who that person is. One of the things that we have to understand is that you can't change a fool. You can't change a fool.
Amen.
Who told you, and I say this in love, who told you white was right? I'm just thinking out loud. Who told you that if you had an opinion and that if you thought of something, you wrong until somebody else steals your pattern, steal your opinion, steal your idea, then all of a sudden it's right? See, we have to know who we are and we have to be able to stand for what we believe in. See, it's not so much of a color thing as it is or should be about a character thing. See, if character is in existence, then it doesn't matter what color you are, it's who is qualified for the job. If character is the issue, it doesn't matter about your color. Character says that I am open to the best ideas. But we so often allow color to determine how high we can go in life. That's a horrible thing. Now let me come to you in closing this morning, because I want to talk about you light-complected black folks and you dark-complected black folks. You thought I was talking about white folks. I was talking about you. Because when I'm walking down the street and a brother behind me, it's not Willie James that I'm necessarily concerned about any more than I'm concerned about Pookie. I'm talking about black on black crime. See, we doing it to us. Oh, don't be quiet. See, you were comfortable, but we were pointing the finger at the man. Now let's point the finger at the real issue. Let's point the finger at ourselves, black folks. Let's look at us. Let's see what we're doing. Everything 13 years old got to be carrying a 9mm. Can't spare a millimeter, but we got to be carrying one. Everything got to break in the store. Everybody got to be selling drugs. Why we got to do that to ourselves? And then you get caught, and then you say, the man got me. No, it ain't the man that got you. It's the 9mm that got you. It's the crime that you did. Don't get mad with the man for wanting safety. Why didn't you do what was right?
Amen.
See, we have this tendency, and y'all just have to excuse me, because we just might as well go and talk about this. We kill ourselves. You light complected, so you got good hair. You dark complected, and your hair is not so good. So we different. The devil is a lie. And you bought into that
foolishness.
Amen.
You bought into that. And so, guys, whenever we begin to look at girls, ooh, I love that red bone. Do you think black is not sweet? And I ain't got nothing. I think you're beautiful, baby. I do. I'm just saying, this is what I'm saying, is that you got to get to know the character.
I'm just joking with you, man. Just joking.
You got to get to know the character of the person.
That's
right. It's not about color.
Yes.
You see, but so often we, as a race of people, we're stuck there.
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
See, we don't really love ourselves. So if we don't love ourselves, but we keep trying to legislate somebody else to love us.
Uh-huh.
See, in order for somebody to love you, they have to have the Spirit of God inside of them.
Amen.
And so while we're looking at other people and say, why don't they love us and why don't they treat us right? My question to you is, why don't you love you?
All right.
Why don't you treat you right? I'm talking about you.
Hey.
The heck with them. Why? Why don't you love yourself?
That's right.
And so when we begin to love ourselves, then the perception that other people have, it really doesn't matter.
That's right.
My challenge to you today is to begin to love yourself. When you love yourself, you take care of yourself.
That's right.
The Bible declares, it says, I wish above all things. Listen, I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible declares, I wish above all things that you would prosper.
Yes.
Prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prosper.
Yes.
So let me spend the last couple of minutes talking about prospering. Stop lying on God by saying that I was born to be poor and my situation will never change. Quit that foolishness.
Amen.
My mama didn't have enough, my daddy didn't have enough, I ain't gonna have enough. The devil is a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. I said that's a lie. You gotta receive. You gotta receive. You gotta receive that if you don't receive anything else. The devil is a lie. I will not live the rest of my life paycheck to paycheck. The devil is a lie. Somebody ought to receive that. I will not spend the rest of my life paycheck to paycheck. You gotta receive it. I will not spend the rest of my life paycheck to paycheck. You gotta receive that. I will not spend the rest of my life paycheck to paycheck. You gotta receive that. See, if you can't get that, then you don't move. And so here you are, God is saying, but I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. So God wants to bless you, but you can't see it. That's why he says, but you have to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're looking at your sight, you're looking at your resume, you're looking at your credentials, God is saying, I don't care anything about that. When God get ready to bless you, he don't care anything about your life. When God get ready to bless you, he don't care if you can't spell your name backwards. When God get ready to bless you, he doesn't care if nobody doesn't like you. When God get ready to bless you, you got to understand that nobody can stop your blessing. You ought to give God some praise this morning because you're in a blessed place. You ought to give God some praise this morning because you're in a place to receive it. See, it's the things that we do to ourselves. It's the things that we do to ourselves. We keep speaking life and death into ourselves.
Yes.
But we're speaking more death than life.
Yes.
God, Jesus says, I came that you may have life. There is nobody in this world that you look at and you envy has anything that you can't have. And it doesn't make a difference if you've been arrested.
That's right.
It doesn't make a difference if you're on probation or parole this morning.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference if you got one arm or two eyes or four eyes. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
None of that stuff matters. None of it. See, the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom. In other words, God is saying, if you come after me and come after my will, he said, all that other little stuff,
oh, yeah.
He says, I'll add that to you. I mean, just think about the stuff that you're worried about.
Yeah.
God is saying that's little stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Do you know the mortgage? He said it's little.
Yeah.
Do you know I need to pay this car off? It's little.
Yeah.
Do you know what I need? It's little. No, I just want you to seek me first. It's my challenge. Come after God. Come after God. It's not about other people's perspective. It's about God's perspective. You got to change the lens in which you're looking at life. Yes, you've been hurt. Yes, people mistreated you. Yes, people lied on you. Yes, people rejected you. Yes, people talked about you. All of that really did happen. Don't get super spiritual and say, oh, you just got to claim it in the name of Jesus. That it never happened. No, no, don't be stupid. It happened. It happened. But all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It happened. But somehow God is going to turn that thing around. Somehow, this rejection is going to lead to an increase. Somehow, God is going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it in your life, but he's going to do it. Do you receive that? He's going to do it. Do you receive that? Do you want to turn around in your life? Do you want God to turn everything around in your life? Come on and stand on your feet and give him some praise. If you want God to just take your misery and make a miracle out of it, come on and give him some praise and tell God, I believe you, God. I trust you, Lord. I'm not concerned about their perception. I'm concerned about what your word says, and your word says, Lord, nothing is impossible. That's what your word says. Every need that is in this house, God is able to meet every need this morning. You need a new job. God, I need a new job. You need to move somewhere else. God, I need a new house. You need a new car, God, I need a new car. You need more faith, God, I need the word. Whatever it is that you need, just let God do it. 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 In the name of Jesus, let God do it. In order for God to do it, you gotta get out of God's way. Get out of his way. Let him have his way in it. I don't want to leave this morning without giving someone an opportunity to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe there's one here this morning, you have no church home, or maybe you don't have a relationship with God. You just need a place to worship. You need to surrender to God. You need a fresh start. You need a new start. If that's you, I want you to let go of the perception, the opinions of other people, and say, God, I need to be in this mood. I need to be in this spirit. I need to surrender to you this morning. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. With everyone this morning. With everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation, or maybe you are sure about your salvation, you just need a church home. We ask that you surrender to God this morning.